Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we ponder God's word this morning, we turn to the words of Paul to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, so once again we have heard the devastating news of what is happening to the south of us, where yesterday and the day before there were terrible storms, devastating storms where houses were turned to toothpicks and trees, all of their foliage has been lost, and most importantly and devastatingly, life has been lost as well. It is at times like this that people need support and help. We don't need the devastating storms of nature to cause us to need help and support. We have sometimes afflictions, as we sang about in our first hymn this morning. We are sometimes afflicted by troubles and trials of our own, by maybe the death of a loved one, or by temptations that come around to us as well. And it is at a time like this when we need to hear the Apostle Paul's words spoken to the Philippians as he speaks to us too. To stand firm. Stand firm, not in yourself, but rather stand firm in the Lord. Your gracious Lord who comes to you. And today, by God's grace, through the Holy Spirit, may we see what a precious gift it is to stand firm together in this precious bond of unity as Christians, and to stand firm together as we look forward to the heavenly glory that is to come. The Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians and tells them to follow my example. When we first look at those words, we may think, well, maybe Paul was being a bit conceited. Follow me, look at me, follow my example. But knowing what we know about the Apostle Paul, we know he wasn't being conceited at all. That was a good example for them to follow, wasn't it? It was a good example because Paul understood himself. He knew his own shortcomings, his own weaknesses, his own very sins, and his desperate dependence upon Christ alone, all the time, every day, in need of his forgiveness, his help, his strength. So we can see why the Apostle Paul would say, follow me, follow me. That is the way we are to think too. We want to follow as Paul was a good example. We want to follow him as well. Not because Paul was a perfect man, but because we know who Paul followed. Paul followed Christ. Christ was his life. And that's the kind of life we are to have, bonded together as Christians. It's kind of interesting how Paul says, don't just follow me, but follow all those who are around you who are setting a like example as I do. Isn't that a beautiful thing for us to do too? As we go through this life as afflicted saints, that we see others who continue in that path of faith, trusting in Christ, coming back to that well of salvation in his gospel, the well of salvation in word and sacrament, again and again through every storm of life, being supported, but also being a great support to others who are bearing such crosses in life. There is no detour, dear friends. Through all the struggles that we face, through all the lies and temptations that the devil brings toward us, we need Jesus. And look at the love that Paul had for those Philippians too. Did you notice at the end of the text what he called them? He called them brothers and sisters, but he also said, You are my joy, my crown, the ones I long for. When I look at the congregation here today, this is what pastors state too. You are my joy, my crown, those I long for. I long to see you each Sunday. We're in Bible study. Those are days that I long for. And I pray that you also look forward to those days too. These are such encouraging times as God gathers us together as his people in this special bond of unity, not with our own strength, but with the strength that God provides through his precious gospel. What a blessing, this fellowship that we have. And why do you think Paul set such an example? Why did he say, follow me? It's because he realized that there were others who were not setting such a good example. Paul said to those Philippians, and he often said it, that there are many who are living as enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their stomach, whose glory is in their shame, whose mind is on earthly things. There's a lot of examples being set out there, but they're not examples that lead to Jesus. There are all kinds of detours, right? People like to set examples of the easy life. That life that doesn't involve the word of God. It doesn't involve repentance of sin. To just continue to live the life the way you want to eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we're going to die anyway. We might as well live it up now. Paul was against that. And the thing is, one striking thing to us is Paul isn't speaking about those outsiders of the church who were enemies of the cross of Christ. He's speaking about people within that church, people who confess with their mouths that Jesus is their Savior, and yet their lives do not exemplify that kind of life. They continue to let sin rule in their lives. Hypocritical lives. That's a big danger. For all the danger that outsiders do to the church, the bigger danger are those who are inside the church, who reap all kinds of havoc, who lead the weak away from Christ rather than toward them. So we ask you this morning too, what kind of example are you setting? When family members and fellow Christians see you, do they see Christ? When they hear you, do they hear Christ? This is something for us to think about too. How can we exemplify Christ? Because Paul lived that life. It wasn't just about, I'm forgiven, now I can live as I want. It was all about pressing on towards the goal. That's what he says earlier in the book of Philippians. Pressing on towards the goal. Living that life for Christ. Our faith is something that's alive. It isn't just words coming from our mouth and then actions doing the opposite. It is a life that exemplifies Christ. It is a life that is motivated by what Christ did for you, giving his very life for you, repenting of the sins that he paid for on the cross with his own blood for you, pressing on to the goal that is yours. May this bond that we have in Christ continue to grow stronger and stronger through the gospel in word and sacraments. It is something precious. It is something that encourages us and enlightens us as we look forward to what Paul talks about in the second part of the text. He talks about a citizenship, doesn't he? He talks about where your citizenship is. It's so easy to be earthly minded and think about the here and now and this life, but Paul takes us to the final goal, doesn't he? He says, our citizenship is in heaven. Isn't it a wonderful blessing from God, and you probably still see it. With all of our problems in this country that we have, we are still blessed to be citizens of the United States of America. We can still be very thankful for all the freedoms that we have. And yet we know a grave is coming for us. We may laugh at the fact that some people who are supposedly 150 to 200 years old, or at least they would be now, are receiving Social Security payments. But we know they're not really receiving anything from the grave. You and I know that what awaits us is not just a grave, but a guarantee. A guarantee from God that you will be with him forever in heaven. And when you think about what Paul says here, it is a thrilling promise he gives us. He says, your citizenship is in heaven, not will be. It's already yours in Christ Jesus. It is already yours because God has claimed you as his own through holy baptism. It is already yours because Jesus has won the victory for you. Our citizenship is in heaven. Your citizenship here is very temporary, but the citizenship you have in heaven, with perfect justice, perfect righteousness, complete forgiveness, that's yours. Not because you deserved it, but because God gave it to you by grace through faith in Jesus. What a gift. And now because of that faith, you eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. We who are Christians gathered together in God's church, we eagerly await Jesus' coming. And you know for certain who that one who is coming is. It's not some nebulous idea of who's coming. You know, Paul says it. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is whom you confess. This is whom you look forward to coming on the last day to gather you in that church that has no ending, to that blessed feast that is perfect joy in heaven. And not only do you look forward to Jesus coming, look at what he plans to give you. He plans to give you a perfect body. God will transform your lowly body, my lowly body, to be a perfect body. What we know about our bodies right now, they're quite vile. Because we know we are sinners by nature, tempted by many sins, and we only have to live a few decades, if even that, to know with the pains and the aches and the troubles and the doctor's visits and the hospital visits and the surgeries that we go through, that our bodies are lowly, they're humble bodies. But Jesus on the last day will take our bodies, the bodies of his people that he dearly loves, and he will transform those lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. A body without disease, a body without pain and trouble and tears, and death. That's something to look forward to. Oh, we have to fight against our reason, don't we? The reason of the human mind likes to say, well, how are you going to do that, Jesus? The body that goes to the grave is dust and ashes. There have even been some people thrown into the sea or the ocean, eaten by animals, by sharks. How in the world can God transform their lowly bodies? Paul tells us. Paul tells us this is God's power. This is God's strength. The power that enables God to bring everything under his control will also transform your lowly body. I can't stand up here and tell you how. I just know who the giver is of that life. What a miracle it is when you see a mother give birth to a child. What a miracle of God. And what a glorious miracle it will be when he takes our lowly bodies in the grave and raises them up to be transformed like Jesus' glorious body. not by human power. This is the power that is divine, the power of God Himself. With that encouragement, dear friends, with that encouragement from our Lord, with a promise of everlasting glory with Jesus, we're encouraged not to huddle in our homes and just wait it out until Jesus comes again. Jesus says, go out there. Tell about me. Share about me so that this fellowship that we have grows and grows and grows, so that more people will have what we delight in, so that more people will rejoice in the beautiful, everlasting promises of God fulfilled in Jesus our Savior. Dear friends, I don't know what afflictions you may have right now, but you and I are very aware that they are enemies. Enemies without, within, within our own selves, the sinful nature. But while you face those enemies, stand firm, not in your own strength, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. Find encouragement in this fellowship as we come together in God's Word, and find encouragement in that beautiful body that you will have one day, as you are gathered together as the body of Christ in that perfect, everlasting glory that Jesus has promised you. Stand firm, dear friends. Stand firm in the Lord. Amen.